Hello, everybody. This is Terry Latham calling to you from Austin, Texas. My wife and I are triple diamonds with this company, and we just absolutely love this company and for what we've been able to experience over the past 3 years. I'm going to get right into it tonight. This is what we leverage is really Monday motivation. And, you know, getting into this call tonight, I was talking to my good friends earlier and asked them if they wouldn't mind coming on to the call. And I've been really good friends with this couple for many years before being a part of ASEA. We've been a part of a different company together before, and we've been a part of each other's ups and downs of experiences. But this is really, to me, for me, probably one of the most exciting calls that I've probably ever done. Jerry and Marsha White are triple diamonds in ASEA. They've grown this business extremely fast. They're also in the Millionaire Club. They've done this together as a couple. They exude leadership when it takes to build this company. If you ask them to do something, they're always there. But not only that, they don't do it for you. They show you how to do it. So I've asked them to come on to the call tonight. So for those of y'all who don't know Jerry and Marsha White, you're going to get a real treat tonight to hear their story, where they come from, and where they are today. So Jerry and Marsha White, do we have you on tonight?
We are here.
And I'm in a different room, but... Yeah.
y'all had a pretty excited weekend this weekend, and so I think y'all might be a little bit tired.
Just a little bit. But it was great. It was awesome. I did, you know, thank goodness for ASEA, or I'd probably be flat on my back right now. But it was a great weekend. It's two weddings for our daughters in 6.5 months to incredibly wonderful men. And We just have had it's been a wonderful, wonderful week. We went down there 9 days ago to Southern California, rented a big old house, had our daughter is a full-time missionary and lives in a community of missionaries down there, and probably every night there was 15 to 25 kids over for dinner and hanging out. We're not quite as young as we used to be.
Well, we call kids people up to 32, so 35.
Let me ask you this. Marcia, you and I are having a conversation here not too long ago, and here we are 3 years down the road, and you're sharing some things. We'll get more detail about that because it's a pretty amazing weekend what y'all are able to experience, but it wasn't probably 3.5, 4 years ago. Things were a little bit different. Can you take us back? Really, what brought y'all here to ASEA, where you were? I mean, because I think it kind of the climax hits at this your second wedding to marry off your second daughter. Take us back to where y'all were and what really brought you guys to ASEA.
We were back, you know, not even 3.5 years ago. We were, 3 years and 3 months ago. We were at a point where I did the finances in our family, and I really didn't let Jerry know where we were because I just didn't want to put that on him. But we were at a point where things were pretty, pretty grim. There was no Peter to pay Paul and no Paul to pay Peter. And one of the things that really, just really tore up my heart, I would lay at night and I would think, here we have these daughters that are, you know, at that time, 18 and 24. And I knew they were going to be getting married sometime in the near future. And I thought, we don't have the money even to go get Costco to, you know, have a wedding for these girls. What the heck are we going to do if they come up and want to get married? It was really something. I mean, I don't just say that flippantly. I thought of that frequently at night. What are we going to do? And it would go through my mind, and I'd think, you know, okay, we can, you know, use the church, but we still got to get chairs and tables, and I guess we could have a potluck. And you know, it just, I couldn't figure it out. And then I thought, how are we going to ever get them a wedding dress? You know, Goodwill dresses are even expensive. And I just couldn't see how it was going to work. And then it's, you know, you move ahead 3 years, 3 months later, and in the last six and a half months, we've had two weddings for both of our daughters, or one for each daughter. And they've been the weddings of their dreams. You know, we were able to give, they're not, you know, extraordinary, extravagant weddings because that's not our style, but they were the wedding of their dreams. We were able to give them, our first one. We gave them a budget that was considerable and told them, whatever you don't spend, we'll put you save up for a house, down payment on a house for you. And they had a magical, wonderful wedding they wouldn't have changed a thing for. And we paid cash for it. And then not 3 months after that wedding, our other daughter got engaged. And we started looking at a wedding in Southern California, which is not the same as having a Northwest wedding. And we just came from that. Everything's about twice as expensive down there. But we were able to rent a house, a house that had five queen or king's beds in it, multiple floors. Anybody that needed a place to stay could come and stay. The community, ate dinner there every night. It was the hangout place. We got to know all of her friends and not worry about it, not worry about when things came up. It was, you get down to crunch week before a wedding and stuff happens and things come up. You forgot about this or you forgot about that. And to be able to just say, no problem, let's just get it done with, let's take care of it. And to have it still come out paid for in cash is just, and to see our daughter so happy and, just being able to celebrate such an incredible beginning to their families without the stress of how the heck are we going to cover these bills and be paying for it for the next 10 years.
Wow, so things have kind of changed just a little bit in the past few years. It's kind of neat, and as you share this, and I got to experience a little bit of this. I didn't know what you shared tonight, and you and I had that conversation not too long ago, and it was pretty neat to hear after the fact. Pretty heart-wrenching to hear if it was during the fact, but pretty after the fact of what we've been able to see with what has transpired. Jerry, you and I have been running around quite a bit and done quite a bit together, and you're exceptional when it comes to really sharing your story. And y'all, coming as we get into this, let everybody know what's your background and really what connected, how did y'all end up here to see ya?
Well, I started out as an expert in using our finances down to a few pennies or zero. And I had all these grandiose feelings about me as a swim coach when I came out of college, and I was able to live like a lot of single guys, under a tree and pine cones without indoor plumbing. And when it came time for us to get married in the first place, Marsha had to jump with a whole bunch of faith, because although I had we worked together as coaches in swimming, and swimming didn't pay a whole lot at that time. In fact, I think once Marsha found out that my entire full-time salary was about $800 a month, she recommended that I do something in addition, perhaps, to what I was doing before. Even though we had kids who were involved with all the way up to the Olympic trials and a whole team full of kids and all that sort of stuff, it wasn't going to be conducive to our kids, maybe somebody else's. And then I went into rehab, discovered that there was aquatics facility at
not
the new hospital. I hadn't started drinking or anything like that, but Marsha was looking through the paper one day. Remember back when they had newspapers, and found out that this hospital had built this rehab center, and they had water there. So interestingly enough, the first thing that I was, she encouraged me to go up and apply for a position they had in aquatics, and it was really just to be a transporter to take people from their hospital beds down to the this new aquatic therapy thing, and they really didn't even know what the aquatic therapy thing was. They just built it. And I went in and I thought, holy cats, we've had kids at the U.S. Nationals and the Olympics and the Olympic trials and all this other stuff. Why would I be transferring people down and helping them change their pants to go into the pool? And then they told me what it paid, and I thought, well, you know, I could probably transfer a few people down to the pool. And that got started, and I eventually became aware of the vast possibilities and went back to school in physical therapy, came out and worked in athletics a little bit, and finally did a lot of outpatient orthopedics and wound care, just kind of dabbling around in different things. And I went to the Shriners Hospital because it was the most courageous people I knew. Because I think one of the great drivers for me has always been the human spirit, the human heart, what we can possibly do. There's a coach in both of us, and that just means to dig out what's possible for people. And so I went there, and I met some of the most courageous people, like I said, these little kids who there was nothing in them that said quit. And a lot of them didn't have much, just very, very minimal function, couldn't even speak, feed themselves, dress themselves, but these indomitable, amazing spirits. Through that, went on to develop a lot of unique programs, worked within their hospital system. They wanted us to take a look at building a new laboratory called the GATE Lab, or a human performance kind of, and it was so new, there were only two of them in the world, so they asked me to learn what they were and help set up the process of putting them together. And through it, got an opportunity to look at the physiology of human beings from the sickest of the sick, the sort of the most feeble, the most torn up, all the way up to these incredible, amazing athletes at the swimming concepts and then into some of the stuff at the initial phases. Marcia and I were just kind of adventurers, and we would coach together, but we'd also do things like compete in triathlons and days when, you know, you'd sit around a fire and eat bones and stuff like that and grunt a few times and get on these things that look like bicycles. And back in the day, the earliest days. And so we did look at the most fit people in the world, the ones who were asking their systems to do the most. Through that process, we came along and eventually learned the immense power of working together in teams. And that's how we've always sort of assessed our approach to ASEA is Terry and I and Marcia and we'd be on the phone a lot talking about what are the possibilities of this new technology called ASEA. This is 20 years later when we'd already seen some possibilities in another company, but those possibilities, it's sort of the boat started sinking. People couldn't pay that kind of money anymore. And more importantly for me, Marcia is the pragmatist. She puts all the strategies and things together. She knows dates and times and specifics and how all the nuts and bolts and pieces fit together. And I drive on the hope and the philosophy and the building of people. And so both of those, at first we were kind of antagonistic with each other, but as we started to work and Terry and I got a chance to sort of elevate one another's belief systems, we can do this. And we did. We got together and we brought some other people who believed we could do this. And through that process, teach them to teach others to believe. And that's kind of the start. We went through all of that. I spent some time teaching as kind of an adjunct professor in biomechanics at the university. So I've got a lot of background in what works. And this was a combination of.
So, Jerry, how were you approached? When you guys were first called, how were you approached with ASEA, and how did you respond, and then what finally made you decide to step in?
Well, I wasn't really approached. I was annoyed.
He had a box of ASEA, Terry. There was a box of ASEA in his closet in the back corner. For a long time, I never even knew what it was. I just knew it was this stuff that smelled like chlorine, which I'm getting allergic to chlorine in my old age. And so I was like, I had no interest. that he played with.
One of the gals that was a part of a team that we were building with our other company, Danny Robinson, and discovered ASEA, and she'd met the founders, and she'd done some things with Gary Samuelson, and she wanted me to find out what all that was about. Well, the translation of that was she wanted to sponsor me into ASEA. And I was trying to be as nice as I could, and in about every couple of months, I would say, I'm not interested, go away. I've got other things to think about. I'm building a worldwide dynasty of great importance here. And her affiliation with ASEA was growing like crazy. She was in the tens of thousands of people and going up, and finances were really moving forward. And I remember you and I talking about, hey, how come this thing we're doing is shedding people like leaves in the fall? And we're not moving forward, and we can't seem to get the momentum and the belief, and it's just not like it used to be. And she kept moving forward. Well, we finally got to a point where she annoyed me and annoyed me and annoyed me, and then finally I was just saying, look, go away and don't ever call me again. I must have said that four times. But she kept calling.
Maybe not.
And increasingly more cranky to check. Yeah, I was getting increasingly more cranky. Like, look, I know where you live, and I will come and turn your garbage cans upside down if you don't leave me alone. And then March was describing, we were in very dire financial straits. The last meeting that I went to with that company was with one of the great money earners. He had to loan me $20 to be able to drive out to there and back. In fact, when we started into ASEA, we had so little money that in order to go see Gary Samuelson, there was a fly-in that I was able to take advantage of it. But
fly-in. They'd flown Gary in twice where he'd gone. He was just kind of checking out to see how this company was working. And then finally, Denny invited myself and him. But we had to drive because they'd already paid for Jerry to fly twice, but we didn't have the gas money. So Denny had to loan us the gas money to drive to Salt Lake. And that was kind of the beginning of it.
Well, and surprisingly, you know, I didn't go the first time because I wanted to hear about the company or to be involved in it at all. I went the first time because she had promised me that if I went, she would consistently qualify in her other company where she was sponsored by us, and she was a kind of a key person to making us qualify at a certain rank. She said, look, if you'll just fly down, they'll pay for it, and you'll listen to what they have to say, then I will do this thing in the future. So I wasn't even going for that reason. But it was so compelling that even my thick skin at that time made me continue to look. She gave me a box of it. I hid it in the back of the closet. I played with it a little bit. I really didn't even know how to use it at the time. So finally, when we had the chance to go down with the $100 loan, then Marcia turns around, as she usually does, and says, what are you messing around for? Get in. Well, that was a total shock to me because I thought she was actually saying, don't get in.
So, Marcia, what did you see? What connected with you that you saw it and you said, let's go?
A couple of things happened, Terry. One, that summer before we got started in ASEA, our daughter was really sick. She had mono, strep throat, and a sinus infection, could not get off the couch. This is a daughter that does not complain about anything else. She was supposed to go to college in a week and a half for her freshman year. I got a hold of some ASEA and said, okay, let's try it on her. And she was off the couch and visiting friends within 2 days. And so that got my eye. That got my eye real quick because I had mono earlier in the summer and it was not that quick of a turnaround. And then we went to a family reunion on the way to taking her to college. She forgot to take the ASEA only one day while she was, you know, she was only a week and a half afterwards. And she was wiped out. We gave her the ASEA, a little nap. She was back playing with all her cousins. And then the other thing that turned it around for me was that that Denny had been able to build such a great organization already, and she was able to, because of the systems that were in place, that there was support other than Denny having to do everything. In our past,
that was
something that she had a little difficulty with. She was great at recruiting, but it was difficult for her to follow up with people. And to see her so successful in following up with people was like, wow, there's got to be a system in place here. And that's what we're looking for, is something we don't have to do everything for everybody.
And that's the beginning of what started to really turn me around, was to see that the immense strength that was brought to her business building by the charge-up call. And by the pre-recorded stuff that was done by the Upper Line Al and Noble on Amazing Molecules, that there were things in place. That was one phase. And the other one was, I was absolutely sold when I saw that there was a visionary founder and that everybody was working toward the same thing when we met Virtus Norton and Gary Samuelson and the crew. And we understood that this truly had a path and a trajectory. And then a third one was really that it's absolutely at this point only just approaching the point of development that the previous company, it was a legendary company. It did a lot of things over time. But they started at a given point in the company's development. And we began to realize that we were years and years ahead of when those people actually started over there, so that the opportunities were beyond immense. We knew how to do what we needed to do. And then finally, the big straw for me was a combination of Marcia saying we could. I thought I was going to jump in, and then Terry is the reason that we really went, because he signed up, and we were in the other company. I had to immediately withdraw from the President's Club of that company to just live under the ethics. I flew down in a panic to try to keep Terry from talking to people, and he said, look, my people are starving to death. It's my responsibility to take care of their lives and their future and give them something to work with. And I'm going to drive around, and we're going to go get some people. I said, this newspaper over here, and you can't tell them because the other company will find out, and they'll throw me out, and that's my only income. And every time we'd get somewhere, Terry would enthusiastically talk to somebody like Sherry and some of the people that he'd known before who were in the other company, and they'd say, well, who brought this up? He'd come over, he'd rip the newspapers off and point at me and say, that guy. So I couldn't get out of it by that point. I said, if my future is going to be developed on this sinking ship over here, or with this vast potential here, and then eventually Dick Walker and some of the people who joined us, man, I'm going to put my oars in the water. We're going for this. Let's pop the clutch. Let's do it.
So you got,
you know, Terry, one thing that really got me too when we went to the fly-in is, Virtus Norton, and, you know, being our great founder that he is, got me. But that actually was almost a drawback to me to start with, until I realized in walked Tyler and in walked all these other people who he had been so able to share his vision for this company with, that I knew already he had prepared another generation of leaders to share the vision and scope of what he saw in ASEA. And until I saw that, I wasn't sure that he has so capably shared and ingrained his vision for ASEA into another generation of men and women leaders, that I was like, wow, because we didn't see that in our last company. The founders were unable to ingrain in the next generation their vision, and that was part of the downfall of the company.
Awesome. Well, you know, I want to make sure that everybody kind of catches what was said on one particular part, and that was going back to our upline. Y'all sponsored Denny Robinson and how she was persistent, not too pushy, but always there. But yet she went ahead and built the business, and that was attractive. And people have to catch that in network marketing. They tend to put all their eggs in one basket and push and push and push until they finally, well, nobody wants to listen. But you got to catch the vision of this thing where it's actually starting to go. We have a few minutes left. I want to kind of get into, you know, your journey. Look, this call, guys, I can interview y'all all night long. But I do want to kind of get to the perspective, Jerry. When we were looking at this thing, and y'all have gone from literally, you went rags to riches. I mean, y'all, you have more than you need. You're debt free. You paid for the weddings. It's just been a Camelot type story. It's just been fantastic. But it's kind of when you're coming from your background, you kind of saw what you saw, and you kind of understood it quicker. And I've seen you explain this to people, but where we are today, in layman's terms, what do we have our hands on? When we're talking about ASEA, we care about the founders and where we are, but we're talking about this technology. What do we have our hands on?
Great question. What we have our hands on is, I want you to imagine, what are some people's needs? One need that people have is to learn quality human interactions. It was such a big deal at this wedding where we taught that, look, we're throwing this a park and a basketball court, and we're going to make it one of the most storybook weddings of all time because so many people come together with a vision to accomplish something. Can we do that here? Absolutely. The technology has been stated now to be such a big deal. When we first got in, they were saying this technology, in the way it's packaged, is the greatest discovery in three scientific lifetimes. And now I've heard Gary Samuelson go one more step and say, no, it's the greatest scientific discovery in science and biology in the history of science. And when we apply it in a way that's incredibly safe, do we have a population of people that fit within one of these categories? They're weekend warriors, or they're athletes and trying to accomplish something. They're people who are scared, and they don't sleep well, and they've got a difficult perspective on the future. Just the interactions with the brain in this material make you so much better to have a perspective of hope and possibility just from the chemical side of it. And another area that we look for is that people are stuck in a very interesting place right now in our economics, like we're seeing currently. The jobs that people did in the last 50 years are being eliminated in large measure by automation. And we're moving into something entirely different. We're moving away from being employees to being networks of people. Now, if we have a network that can apply to people who want to gather and learn to make a difference together, they do something that helps their own health at the same time. They grow an international base where they can produce so much efficiency that they can make a living in a period of time that allows us to do things like this last summer. We figured out that if we were going to be doing an event in Tacoma, Washington, and 2 days later, Marcia and I, who now don't have to be anywhere at any time because of job constraints, we had to travel to Yakima, Washington. Well, guess what's in between? If you choose what's in between, is Mount Rainier. So we go up to the top of Mount Rainier, one of the most phenomenal experiences. We go down to the Bay Area. We work with Masami, who is just a fireball and ready to explode the entire Asian continent. What could we do? Well, we took a day in the morning to go out in kayaks on Monterey Bay in the middle of probably 50 humpback whales. And then in the evening, we come together and teach people how we can work together and manage the momentum to to be creative. My youngest son, he goes off to a lifetime adventure as a self-funded missionary to New Zealand and said, "Dad, I'm coming home. What can we do next?" I could take the time to fly down there and not only build part of our group that's developing in Australia and New Zealand, but to spend the time fly fishing with a guide in New Zealand with my son and to do some trekking and tracking with some backpacking was completely foreign to me. I thought that we lived under different rules than that. We can get whatever we can believe together. Of financiers and scientists and manufacturing systems that are beyond our wildest imagination with a goal so that together that really has redefined something that I didn't even believe possible. The very first little six-month soiree we put into this, they taught us how to, what I call, reshuffle the deck. And that means they take, when we go on these corporate events, they often invite the corporate founders and their spouses and their employees and their spouses and the people in the field, the leadership and their spouses. And we come together and we have these preconceived notions of what we can accomplish. And when they shuffle the deck, then one day we may be doing something like an outdoors activity of whitewater rafting. Another day, we turn around, we do something like Terry's, who was the champion skeet shooter. There's different people that are going to be effective as those, but in between, a campfire where some people were singing and working the kind of the artistic side. And through it all, we're all engaged in a lifestyle and a life that us to be together, to work together, to find out the strengths of human beings and the common purpose in one direction. How much is that worth, and where are we going with it? It's worth as much as we make it worth as a group of people. On this call, this is our team. This is a team of people that said, if I want to be included, Groom's family, who once we've started putting this wedding together from every aspect, couldn't be done without them. They jumped in, much to their reticence, and had one of the great life experiences because they just didn't know how great it would be if they had a part to put something together. That's how we see it, Sia.
Awesome. Marcia, would you ever, three and a half years ago, would you ever believe you'd be where you are now?
Nope. I believed I'd be, you know, I love my job teaching, but I believed I'd be stuck in my job teaching until I just couldn't do it anymore. And I'd still be at Costco thinking, every item in here costs at least $10. How many can I get this shopping trip? You know, I really didn't see any difference happening in the future. And, we're living a life that I just kind of pinch myself. I can't believe we're where we're at with the great people that we get to do it with. You know, we've made so many friends in the last 3 years, 3 months that we never would have met before, that we are going to get to experience a quality of life with that's just unbelievable.
One of our great dreams, Terry, was to be done with us. And from a financial standpoint, to be done with us, so that when we could turn around and teach other people, to teach other people to be done with themselves, to get to a point where that wasn't the massive, all-consuming concept of their day. And it has been absolutely insanely remarkable. And if we could just sort of exude the possibilities based on where we were coming from, to where we are today, only just for the hope that each one of you can have, because there really are no limits other than the ones we put on ourselves.
You guys are truly amazing. And, you know, and it's, I know people listening tonight and that will be listening to the recording over the next week and really for the months to come as we have it on our website. will sit back and they listen to the stories. And guys, I got to tell you, I experienced part of this and saw it. Didn't know how deep it was. But it's truly amazing for those people with a dream and are willing to work towards that. And if you catch it and it's that glimmer of hope and understand that came from a higher place at times, and then you just grab it and you run, and if whatever you put forth will come back over and over and over again. It doesn't always happen in the time that we're looking for. And I love the story of how y'all shared how Denny would reach out to y'all and slam the phone down, or you'd be, let's call it rude. And it was about, what, I guess, 2 years later, 2-3 years later, you decide to be a part of it, and look what that's done. So persistence pays off. Guys, take a minute and just kind of, what would y'all like to share? There's a lot of people going to be listening to this call that might be just getting going, might have been in for a while, might have hit a roadblock, might be having the best time of their life in this. What would y'all like to share real quick as we close out this call?
The first thought that comes to me, Terry, is reach out to someone. Get connected with someone. It's so easy to be cocooned in the life that lives that we have that are so busy. You know, reaching out, listening to a call like this is great. But, you know, do something that's interactive with somebody. Reach out. One way they can do that is Saturday mornings if they want to. We have interactive training at 8 a.m. Pacific time on Zoom with Jerry's cell phone is the number 509-981-4021. I know there's been, you know, several people that's a place they can connect with another ASEA associate, with another live person. A lot of you are in cities or towns where there isn't a meeting, there isn't somebody that, you know, you can connect with to keep ASEA forefront in your life. And so you're going to have to do it through Zooms and things. But that would be my big thing is find a partner. That, you know, if you don't have a spouse that's working with you, find a cross-line partner and just dream with them. Think, you know, we used to always play the why game or the what-if game. What if we did this? What would happen? What would it mean? Find somebody to dream with. And I think that will really, you know, help your ASEA life, but help your daily life too. It's great to have a partner in life.
What a great concept. And Marcia's been an amazing partner. And sometimes I really bucked and didn't see it. But keep going. I've often, since I left, working with some of those kids that were just so amazingly courageous, and they do things that were far beyond what anyone ever imagined they could do there at the Shriners Hospital. And I thought, in this kind of an industry, literally, at first I used to say, we could rig up a little deal with their chair, and you can see the sparkle in their eye. You know that they understand. You know they're human beings, and they have hope, and they have immense strength beyond our wildest imagination. And that they want to make a difference and be a part and be included. And you could see, I imagined if I could just hook up a chair that had little CDs on it or something, and they can drive their chair around, but that's about all they could do is to move their wrist just a little bit and make that chair run. And if they were to roll up with somebody with dignity in their heart and flip this switch, and up comes one of these little CDs and said, I own my own business. And I learned this from my first sponsor in network marketing. And he said, I don't have all the skills you do, but I would be honored if you would consider being a part of what I do. Please take this, and then I'll do my best to get back to you. See a vision in that of people with so little to bring. How much do you bring? That was my first vision, and what I've come to realize is that in it, it requires a team to make that happen. Somebody had to develop the wheelchair that they can operate. Somebody would have to come up with a way of being a mouthpiece or helping develop the little flip thing that throws that up. Somebody had to create the tool that brought the information together. All of us, each one of you, has more skills than any one of those kids I worked with, by far. The only thing that blocks us is not having somebody else as a sounding board that allow us to speak what we believe we might be able to do and to get back a positive result. Because as Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. And we've only been able to really understand that when we began to start to live it, that there really are no boundaries. And the future of how work works has changed so dramatically that if we can take this idea that has so many upsides to people who are hurting and don't know where to go, man, it is unlimited what we're going to do. Thanks for having us tonight, Terry. You're the
Amen.
Best.
You guys are absolutely phenomenal. Thanks for everything y'all stand for and the leadership y'all put out and with what y'all are doing with what we're about to do. Guys, make sure to get this call out to as many people as you possibly can. We're going to be here next Monday, same exact time. Just having somebody else on the call. But the call you can access through the recorded number. You can get that number through at teamlivit.com. That's TEAMLIVEIT.com. You can also be able to download this, the recording, if you want to listen to it anytime. So, guys, have a fantastic night. Make sure you get to the regionals, and we'll see you out on the Sea Highway. Have a great night. Thanks.
Good night.